Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to a long-awaited new episode of The Trashler, a.k.a. The Bachelor, starring Clayton Eckhart. I'm your trash host, Sarah Armour, and this is my trash co-host for the Trashler Nation feed.
Hey, Casey Bunker.
I don't know why. I just did the thing that Molly does where she's like, you say your name. I was like really assuming the role of Molly, and I did it really professionally. I feel like I did point, but this isn't a video cast, so who knows what you were zoning out staring at. Because I went, go. And then you were like, and I just want to say a name. So I'm really sorry about that.
I thought you were going to keep going.
That was a timing issue on my part. I don't know why. I just was like, pass the ball. Like, you know, it's like when you play sports, you got to like make eye contact before you pass. It's like I definitely did not make eye contact and just, you know, so my bad.
Well, I can't tell if you're making eye contact or not. You know, we're on a Zoom. We're doing our best.
I do think I'm like faking the personal element of Zoom so much that like, it's like, I guess I should have waited for more acknowledgement than just fucking tossing you the energy ball. But we did it. We're here. It's all right. It's okay.
It's okay. We're here. We're right
here. Something I don't like about myself, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. I know exactly what you mean. Wow. These people. Yeah. We get to talk about all of their issues today. So yeah. Hey, Trash Squad. We had a nice little break last week. Honestly, that was kind of nice. But we're back now. It feels great. We got vulnerable this time. Okay.
I was sort of, I felt a little bit like this was like Thomas 2.0, when it's like they all hypothetically meant to sit around and get vulnerable. And then like, I sort of a little bit felt like everybody didn't understand the assignment.
Yeah. Like I was like, does nobody in here drink too much? Cause that was definitely what my thing would be.
Right, like right, where I'm like, oh, like sometimes I just I oftentimes choose the primal choice when I want to serve a basic pleasure that I don't have the will to say no to in general. You know, like sometimes I make the wrong choice because I'm trying to fill the void. I mean, you mean, you know,
so no, it's they like, sort of almost like all they like, it was like
they misunderstood.
It was supposed to be. So this was our first group date. I mean, before this, we had Cassidy as a friend with benefits, yada, yada, yada. Obviously, that doesn't work for a Taurus Capricorn kind of gal. She blew it.
What
can we say about that?
But I don't even think I actually think she did like exactly what she like went there to do. I mean, it's like if you don't want your secrets out, don't spill the beans. Like no one would know any of this shit about her unless she told them.
Right. That's true. But yeah, that's true. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we don't know yet if it did work. I mean, maybe she did in capture this friends with benefits afterwards and said, you know what, actually, I won. The Bachelor chose me and I actually freaking wasn't that into him. So maybe you kind of want to wife this now.
Well, no, you know what I think? If she's smart, which I actually don't necessarily think that she is, but I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. Like in my mind, there's a long game strategy being played here because we do know, she was a Capricorn moon, wasn't she? I don't even remember now.
Yeah, it was a Taurus and a Cap. So maybe.
Oh right, right, right. She was the worst of me and Molly. So
yes.
So
no, Cap, Sun, Taurus, Moon, Taurus.
Cap, Sun, Taurus, Moon. Right. Okay, yeah. Okay. So this is possible then. Okay, so she's playing a long game here, and this friends with benefits is someone that actually she wants to be with, and I think that she could spin it in a way that's like, I even went on The Bachelor to try to forget about you. And, like, you became the storyline. Like, yeah, I tried to get over you. I tried to do, you know, I was with someone else, but I ended up talking about you. And, like, it could be like an I did this for you on national TV play. Because ultimately,
totally.
I still do think that she is, I think my I'm not sure what I think about Elizabeth, but I do, my position stands that I do think Shanae and Cassidy are both both living in sin. I think that they're both repressed in terms of really expressing their full sexuality. I guess I'll just say that, even though it's a lot to put on someone. But I'm just saying, I can when someone's like evading a certain thing, or it's just like the way that they're acting is so like over the top compensating that it's like, what are you talking?
What's the point?
What are you not telling us? Like, just, you're like, we'll get to Shanae later, but it's like that's like a certain type of person that I know where it's just like, shut up. This isn't, you're not saying words that match what you're actually saying, doing. It's like just so inauthentic that it's like you're hiding something.
Totally hiding something. They're both driving me just bananas this whole time. So
genuinely hard to watch. That's why I almost like skipped over it, because it's like, fuck you guys for even like, that's like, do you have to think maybe the producers paid them extra to just come be like, humiliate themselves in terms of the actual showing their character? Like, how could they possibly in their right minds be acting like this on it's the same way I felt about Big Toe Jamie Scar from last season. It's like, how, what's going on here that you somehow are like in such a suspended reality that you you think this is a good performance?
Right. That's the question. So I mean, the beauty of it is Clayton actually does see through this time, and he does send her home, which he goes, you know, there's too many concerns.
I would say so.
That's a good way to put it.
That's a great way to put it. And like, she was also just like way too cocky with the way she was acting. She's like, well, I already have a rose. Like, I already have a rose. It's like, bitch, like, pull the petals off that thing. He loves you not. Like, as if the rose is like, I just got a rose. So like, I'm good now. Like, all shit to the fan, like balls to the walls out. I have a fuck buddy. I think I'm just here to win and strategize, you bitches. It's just like, you one rose. What do you add? This rose is not like fucking bulletproof vest. What are you thinking with this confidence is so delusional.
Right. And then I loved how she also was like, I didn't even pack my bag because I thought I really wasn't going home. And then they still put her in the car. And I was like, who packed her bag? Like, that would give me so much anxiety to be like, someone is packing my bag. They're going to forget shit. Who packed her bag? We don't know. They just sent her home without her stuff.
That's actually such a funny thought. I didn't even think of that. The way I took it was more like, it was like, I've been there before where I've been like getting broken up with, and it's like, but it's an inconvenient time for, like, I've tried to like stay in the, like, but I was here for the weekend. Like, I have nowhere to go. You know what I mean? Or like, you know, like, but you know, I'm about to get my period.
You just cling to any,
something, anything, where I can't right now. Like, Valentine's Day is next month, you know, like something where it's like, not before Valentine's Day, you know, right? So it's like, that's kind of how I took it. But it is really funny to think that like, if she's being literal and they're like, you need to go to the van right now, she's like, but I didn't pack. Yeah, that the minute that you're like, oh my god, somebody like went through my shit, because it's like, even with her, in her case, it's like, what are they gonna find, like a burner phone, dynamite? Like, what is she? I get her being specifically afraid of what they may find. Like, talk about Ryan's notes from last season being bad. Like, ooh, boy, that actually is a bag I wouldn't mind shuffling through if I had my choice of the pick of the litter.
Right, because Shanae's isn't gonna have anything interesting in there. I mean, she's just like,
wow,
I mean, space cadet,
just box of rocks.
Box of rocks. Okay, so then we move on to this fabulous group date, which so they did this, was it last season or the season before, where they were sitting, it was like
Thurston,
the circle of trust.
Katie Thurston had therapy circle for a date, and this was like therapy circle part two.
Yes, the circle of trust. So I mean, it's cool when they do this. I mean, just when you think you got away from Caitlin Bristow, boom, baby, she's back in there. I mean, girl doesn't quit.
Well, she also, I think, like, low-key with all this Tayshia stuff, like, I think, like, not that she cares one way or the other, but I do think a little bit she feels like, look, these girls are signing up to beat each other for that last position. I think Caitlin is like, I'm the last woman standing in this franchise that's still working for you people. Like, I won The Bachelor.
Yes.
And it's like a little bit like, fuck Jesse Palmer, because it's like a few episodes ago, they were like, or maybe like right at the first episode when he introduced himself, so you remember me, I sound like Chris Harrison, but I'm not. And then it's like, they're like, but you're married, right? Like, you went through this process, like, and you're married. And they're like, yeah, it's like, he's married to someone that he met completely outside of the reality TV universe. So it's a little bit misleading. Like, the thing about Caitlin Bristow, she probably is pissed about not getting the host position, because she's like, fuck you guys, I am with the guy I met on The Bachelor. And
no,
we had like a
she
journey.
Didn't.
I thought she did. I thought they met on the, I thought they were both Bachelor.
They're both on different seasons. She was engaged to someone else.
Okay, if they if they're going to use someone that was on the show, it is imperative right. that they use someone who found success. Where get no. What's her name? Trisha? What was the first one? I loved her. That was what? So sincere because it was like the first actual like when this was a like, genuine experiment. Trista and Ryan.
Oh, was that
Ryan? It's so fucking hot. Trista and Ryan, yeah, and they're still together, and they have kids. They live in Ontario.
Yeah, pick them. Pick them. We can't.
Ryan, her husband, ex. He's a firefighter. He's gorgeous. Ryan should do it. Anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's cute.
What was her name?
Kind of like a Clark Kent thing. Going. Oh, so one picture doesn't look so good, but other pictures he looks really good. I think they tend to go for the people who the fans like the most. Is what it seems, because here we see Becca K coming back again.
Right. And people really have, like, they are, we are holding a candle for Becca Kufrin for what?
Another one you just can't escape. Like, you run, you can run, you can hide, but you can't escape Becca K's love. I mean, that's just what it is.
Let's do the damn thing every damn season, okay?
Yeah. And if I was in that position, would I be doing the same? Of course.
Oh yeah, of course I would. That's what they're doing. I mean, that's the right reason. They're for the right reasons, and that's what it is. Yeah, it's like a build-a-bear for your career. It's just like, okay, well, here you are. Welcome to the factory. Like, you want to do the podcast? You want to do the live show? You want to just keep showing up as a guest? It's like, well, okay, cool, right? I totally get it. I actually love that. I think the idea behind, like, even with the Moon, like, I sort of, in many ways, am fashioning a lot of the sort of creative ideas in terms of the way that The Bachelor has structured their business, only in like if we all become just in the way that like I want to create like an universe, yeah, what's right, like what's the word I'm looking for, is it ecosphere? I don't know what
that doesn't sound right.
It sounds like wrong, like
ecosystem.
I want to create so the way that like Bachelor like feeds itself, where it's like we know Becca Kufrin, she adds value because you know her, and then it's like, oh, now we can talk more about it, and the business can grow off of this like group of characters being the star. Versus like any one person, because it's like they basically just turn people into celebrities, like in the same way that the Real Housewives did, but like it's like this like Housewives rich people universe. For Bachelor, it's just like the contestants are basically just like entering the gauntlet, and like the real winning is just having like it's like seeing how far
you can make it.
Yeah, it's like the assembly line. It's like a factory job for just like mid-level talent who are pretty.
Yeah, you got to be pretty for sure. So Caitlin Bristow's back. She's hosting the Circle of Trust. We're going to all talk about what we're ashamed of about ourselves. I mean, just cut right to the core, just cut to the quick, or right. So they tried, because guess what? Everybody else just ended up pinning their shit on other people. Dude, Clayton goes first.
Clayton's the only one that sort of did it right.
When he came back around. So first he went first, and his thing was like, I put my walls up, you know? I'm not proud of it, but I put my walls up. It's like,
which in fact was actually him putting his walls up.
That's so meta. It's so true, because so then everybody else goes at the end. He kind of comes back around and says something else. So that was nice of him to kind of like correct and then give them back the vulnerability that they actually didn't really deserve, because they didn't really say that much.
It was probably like he was listening to everybody in the circle going, oh shit, I need to correct this because I'm the reason that they all misunderstood the assignment and now are using it as a way to talk about the things that they've gone through that have made relationships in the past not work, which is what the general conversation of every single conversation in the house is likely going to be. So it's a little, I mean, he ruined it for every, he's right that he put his walls up, and he literally did it right there. And we saw him learn and grow, because by the end of it, he was like, oh, wait a second, I actually do have to say something that is vulnerable in nature, which he did. Again, he didn't phrase it in the most, like, what are you ashamed of? He should have said my body, and that would have been the answer. What are you ashamed of? Since I was a kid, I've struggled with body image stuff. That would be the answer. Or like, yeah, like the thong you stole from Macy's or whatever. I wear heels at night, or, you know, but it's like that's where, like, right, everybody's share was like, I, in relationships, have let other people walk all over me, and I'm ashamed that I let them make me feel ashamed of myself. And it's like, okay, but like,
yeah, like that is painful. Yeah, but like, sure. But that's not what we were like going for here.
It's not the actual answer to the, if the answer is what about yourself are you, like, it's basically like share your shadow side. It's not like, I haven't always dated people who were the best partners. That's not your fucking shadow side. The fuck's wrong? Like, yeah, yeah. Nobody answered. But then the level of emotional that everyone was getting, it's like, oh my God, this is a group of women who are just like not okay.
Yeah, like it was all right at the surface, ready to come out like immediately. Like, okay, first Clayton says his thing. I put my walls up. Genevieve looks at him and goes, I mean, it's exactly the same for me. I go, boom, friggin' Gemini, right? Mirror immediately. Yes. But she takes it to the next level, starts crying. Then we got Serene on the other side, and she looks at her and is like, that makes me so sad.
Serene's reaction to the other one crying.
Hunter went first. So Hunter gave a good, like, real vulnerable answer and was talking about, like, how she changed herself for this guy, changed her eye color, changed her hair. Still missed the mark a little bit, but it was something she was kind of ashamed of.
She framed it in a way that was like, I felt insecure and this guy was so awful. But really what she was saying, actually, it sounds like I was like in an abusive relationship and I'm ashamed to have stayed in a situation where I was being like manipulated and controlled.
Yes.
Like I'm ashamed that I stayed too long was what she was trying to say. But again,
yeah, but she hasn't like journaled about it enough. So she doesn't really, she couldn't like get to the net. Yeah.
Or it went a little bit along too with the trend that he started, which was sort of pinning it on like it was as if they had like inserted into the question, like, what have you learned in relationships? Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, he made me feel really, so they were all answering things that they were still hurt and ashamed about. But ultimately it was all like, I didn't date about a boy who loved me. And it's like, that's like, you're just reflecting you're halfway there, but like, cross the line. What are you actually, you're actually saying you're ashamed of not being enough. You're ashamed of the fucked up thing you did in the middle of getting dumped that you've been secretly drinking every morning in the bathroom. You spike your coffee right before every group date. That's, you know, it's like, come on, give us, you're on major, major pain meds.
Right. Something like, tell us
anything.
The truth. Yeah. After Hunter's thing, then Serene is just like, there's just tears going like just down the face, and she's crying, and it turns out she's crying because she's too skinny.
You're too little. Is that also something to be ashamed of?
Serene.
You're too small, Serene. You should be ashamed. Like, you're too small.
Still is kind of pinning it on the other people.
Society made me feel bad.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, like, what kind of drugs have these people done? Like, whose boyfriend did they sleep with? Like,
how many Deweys? Oh. How many Deweys?
How many Deweys in the club right now?
How many how many abortions? How many Deweys? How many, you know, how long have you lived with your parents? And did you ever get a job? Like, what are, you know, like, give us the fucking, the meat.
Yeah.
Give us
I'm embarrassed because I have a stupid major and a ton of student loans. And I don't know what the hell I'm going to do if this shit doesn't pan out. Like, come on, tell me the truth. Not like how people have like, you know, been kind of mean to you and stuff. Like,
entire left ass cheek is a mole. Say something interesting.
When I'm naked, it just looks like poop, and it's upsetting, you know.
Right, I'm ashamed that I have this doo doo butt, like for a facade.
Give us the real dirt.
Like, that's like really hard. I like actually knew a guy who had doo doo butt, and like he hated looking like at himself from like the back in the mirror. So like totally get that.
Is that real?
That was Clayton. It was like a hypothetical Clayton.
Oh yeah.
And it's not that funny.
Anyway. But the point is, these people really bonded. So, you know, they didn't understand the assignment, but they really like got to a new level with each other. So that's beautiful.
Well, it's really what I'm realizing more and more, and it is, I guess we've been saying it, and it's like, I'm sorry to be late for the party if this is something that's like, duh, sir. But it's like, it literally, because it's like, how are they so close after 4 days? And it's like, oh, because this is like the camp effect. Like, it literally, they do feel like friends.
Yeah.
It is like when they started with the rose ceremony at the beginning, and they're all like hugging and saying bye, and they're like, I love you, bye. And then it's like, Elizabeth describes it, she's like, I just want to hang with my friends at the beach. It's like, they actually are I get where, like, in a way we'll get to Shanae, but I get where it probably does feel like genuinely fun and clicky, and like, because for the most part no one's there for the reason, when they act like that's someone I've been dating, or like, well, you've dated him in the past, it's like, nobody's dating anybody here. Like, these are not, this is like, not
it's a bonus if it works out.
Right. That's not why. Let's be clear. Thomas was the only person that told the truth in the truth circle.
Right. Forever. For
so
life.
Far, he's the only one. And that's why, of course, he is good enough for our damsel in distress, always and forever. Let's do the damn thing, Becca Kufrin. Give him, that's, we should forgive, we should give Thomas some hosting fucking positions too. We should apologize to him as Bachelor Nation, and the producers owe him. He actually did have leading man capability. He could have been the next Bachelor. He was honest about it because he is confident. He did get dumped on TV and still is with the girl.
Justice for Thomas. ASAP.
Justice for Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love if one of these girls was like, I'm ashamed to say I'd like to be the Bachelorette. Wouldn't go over well. But that would be the truth.
It would be the
Although they wouldn't be ashamed to say it.
Well, they would, because they wouldn't dare. Like,
that's
it's,
true,
it's the
true.
Ultimate secret. But that's the whole thing. It's like, whatever you think the ultimate secret is, especially now that it's Scorpio South Node season, is like Clayton started with a literal... It's just what it's like, whatever you try to hide about yourself or whatever you try to avoid, it's like you can't, especially on reality TV.
Exactly. Gosh. You love to see it play out. So then we go to the cocktail portion. We got a couple makeouts. We got Serene. They had a nice makeout. Susie had a makeout, and they actually stood up and made out. And
yeah.
I've realized that that's like the next step for them. Like, it, because they're always sitting down when they talk to each other. But when you have like a standing up makeout, that's not like contrived like Shanae's later on. But like, they were sitting down and then they were like, oh, let's stand up and make out.
Mm-hmm.
And right, I think he's into Susie.
And actually, I'm sorry to skip around, but I felt the same way about the reason I even said to pull it up. I felt that he and Gabby's kiss was genuinely electric.
Oh, I don't know if I like really tuned into like their kiss that much, because I was just like, she's quirky. It's not going to work.
They were genuinely like feeling each other up. And ooh. I actually think that she has she might be my low key front runner right now, because in looking for her. In looking for her birthday, and I can look at the chart. We not even really glance at the chart, but she is a Broncos cheerleader. Like, she is a football cheerleader.
Oh. So
that means she's going to fit into his world perfectly. And, like, that's kind of like a match. But she's, like, the kind of, like, quirky, you know, she is, like, a little bit – she just, like, has a chubbier look. She has sort of a – yeah, like, she's not – like she isn't the most objectively, like, cookie-cutter hot. And it's like, you don't think I'm, like, everyone thinks it's funny that you don't get that I'm funny. She's like, I'm funny all the time. So it's like, for someone like Clayton that now we know struggles with, like, body stuff and actually feeling cool, and he's, like, rejected on his own show 3 times, that Chiron Moon conjunction, like, damn, for him to actually find somebody who's in his world but also maybe that feels a little bit like an underdog in that world, or someone that's, like, the cool, funny girl, like, I don't know. I think their makeup, because they actually made me feel like I felt watching it, like, it was the first time in a while where I've been like, damn, like, I want that kind of makeout. Like, they were feeling each other up in a way that was, like, very in sync. And it was very, like, it was just very...
exploratory.
Yeah, it was very sensual.
Ooh. Because sometimes these makeouts really do not inspire. Like,
oh, I mean,
and then you get a good one
devastating.
And you're like, that's what we're looking for, you know?
I mean, yeah. So the bad makeouts are, I mean, okay, well, let's keep going with the episode, because I think this will bring me to my next point.
Yeah. Do we want to do Susie's chart this time, since we didn't do Susie, or should we wait till she comes back around another day and do Gabby?
I'm genuinely curious about Gabby right now, just based on my feeling about the makeout.
Based on that makeout, yeah, you're piquing my interest with that one.
Okay, so I have it up. This is interesting.
And okay. I think Susie's going to get her moment in the sun, and we can focus a little bit more on her when that happens. Because
what
I
want to know
about
a good
Susie. Makeout, but.
How is Susie's hair so good?
Right.
She has great fucking hair, man.
When she was reading that group date card, I was like, girl, it's just cascading.
No, it's like literally, it's like, what is the right reason for love schmuv, if that happens, cool. She's there to get a hair sponsorship. She's working for Pantene after this. Who's going to nab her up? Because, like, wow, that hair. If you are really under these circumstances able to get your hair to be, like, that shiny and, like, I mean, unbelievable bounce. And it's long. I mean, it's hard to get long hair to really, like, curl like that. I would like to know what she's doing. I'd like to know what she's doing.
Love to know. Tell
Excellent
us, Suze.
Okay,
could be some Leo in there, but we'll get to that.
Absolutely.
All right, Gabby.
And it wouldn't, to be honest, a side note, it would not surprise me if like Leo ends up being a part of who he ends up with on some level, because he has that wounded Leo that I think another Leo kind of mirroring him could be deeply healing, because he sort of realizes, like, oh, this person does express like me, you know, versus like someone that expresses as big as he does, but that's sort of always going to be that Leo, like, I'm here, like, I'm proud of you, I love you. Like, I could see it being very healing for him to be with the fellow Leo. But let's just see what the charts have in store for him and Gabby. Okay. Share screen. What is there, a fucking frat party at your house? Hold on.
Can you hear my husband?
Definitely. He's loud as hell.
I closed the door between him and the cats.
Him and the cats, it's a journey, man. I love it, though. It's like so personal. Okay, so Gabby's on the inside in blue.
Oh,
but
okay.
Look what we have here.
Moon to moon?
Junk to junk. Soul to soul. Her Jupiter is right on his moon, Chiron. So now, either she...
That's lucky.
Well, yeah. And because of that Jupiter, I could see it triggering him on some level, but I actually think, I mean, you know, Jupiter traditionally represents the sort of husband energy, right? So when you have a moon Jupiter conjunction along with his moon Chiron, it's almost like she feels like daddy to him. She feels like
I can see that.
And I can see her actually healing that Leo wound, because she's going to be that's why she's like so silly, because like she's like expressive and funny and,
yeah,
you know, right? And then I just want to check something, because, okay, so look, it looks like her Juno.
Wait, this is Gabby, right?
Yeah, this is Gabby.
Or Susie. Okay.
Gabby. I'm just trying to see, because he has his... I'm trying to see where his Chiron is, where her Chiron is. I want to get the right degree. Her Chiron is at 21 Cancer. His Mars, I'm trying to see if he has any Cancer. No, okay, they're just so close. But so yeah, so okay, sorry. His Chiron or her Chiron and her South Node are together at the very end of Cancer. His marriage asteroid and his Mars are together at the end of Cancer and at the 0 degree of Leo. So I could see this being a significant past life connection, only in that, like, it's almost like that, you know, when you have this South Node triggering, you know, Mars is the trigger, the Chiron wound, like, so she feels like he is that, like he feels like she's daddy. She feels like he's like mommy. Like, it's like that's my other half, like his Juno in Cancer. Like, his partner asteroid is touching her wound and sort of comforting it. Then we have her South Node igniting his Mars into, like she turns him on from, like, a deep... They know each other from the other planet. Like, they know each other. There's a deep, like, real soul connection here. Her Mars is in Taurus, which is on, you know, where his sun is. So yes, on the one hand, it could be argumentative, but they're not exact conjunctions. It's not that close. So really,
it could be like in a hot way, I feel like.
That's how I feel like. More likely, it will be the kind of thing where it's like she is turned on by the looks of him. And like, she might be kind of like a slow mover with that Mars and Taurus, like diligent, hardworking, but it's like, he's like the prize at the end of the, you know, it's just, it has a very football, Mars and Sun like meeting up in Taurus. It has a very football hang vibe, a very grass tailgate, like good old fashioned fun, good old fashioned turning each other on. And I think because her Mars is there, she fires him up, like she makes him want to move a little faster or want to work a little harder. So I think that's a real swell connection. And then otherwise, anything notable? I mean, her Sun is in Capricorn with her Uranus and her Neptune and her Saturn and her Venus and her North Node. So, like,
wow,
she has a real deal big time stellium here. I mean, her chart is very daddy. It's very much like provider, supporter, like sturdy. And also because of all of this Capricorn and her North Node in Capricorn, I could see part of her purpose being around... And also because, look at this, her Juno, Lilith, and Mercury are together in Sagittarius. So it is like her humor that gets the boyfriend or the husband that can just like have some fun with her and like really be wild and Sagittarian in nature. It's on his North Node. So him hanging out with her brings out his like inner fire that he's really meant to move towards. And for her, the North Node in she has so much Capricorn in her chart. It's like her, she might be on the docket for some public recognition. Like this might be a push. Like I could see her winning just because like the Capricorn cycle has been so fucking harsh. And it's like, she deserves, the Capricorns deserve like be, to be, like for her North Node to be Capricorn, it's like she's actually resetting the conversation about actually what makes you a bachelor like hopeful. Like it isn't so about being like the prettiest.
Maybe she could be the bachelorette.
Okay, or she, right. I think either she's going to be the bachelorette or she could win or get really far where it's like she's sort of meant to be this like person that's leading with, even though like, okay, that little wound, she might not feel always like that feminine or that pretty or that safe or supported. But at the end of the day, she's got like expression for days. She's really funny and she deserves some public recognition for being the funny, cool girl. And actually that is more attractive. Now I'm talking to myself here, right? Right? That's more attractive, right? But that's, I think, right. I think she's like, she's sort of a leader in the game for, look, all the bachelorette and all the men on Paradise, you know, sort of hot or cold, you know, it's, men can get away with being ugly in this franchise. The women cannot. They're all fucking picture perfect, teensy weensy, or like workout. I don't know. I think Gabby is sort of making a case for the cool funny girl. And maybe she doesn't work out as hard, but she's still a fucking cheerleader, so everyone chill.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you something. So he is a Capricorn sun, right?
No, he's a Taurus sun.
Oh, Cap moon. Okay, never mind.
No, he's a Taurus sun. He's a Taurus sun, Leo moon. She's a Capricorn sun, Leo moon. So they match because both of their outer energy is both Earth. And both of their inner energy is not only fire, but it's Leo. So they really are compatible. This is real compatibility here. And awesome. A possibility, I think the possibility for real healing in both of their charts.
Okay, so Gabby's going far.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
She's going far. And she won the, she won her part of the date. I guess we skipped forward to Gabby, didn't we?
We did. I had to jump ahead because we were just talking about hot makeouts.
Right, but we might as well talk about her. She did get the group date rose.
Right, okay, so we didn't totally. Yeah, she got the group date rose and then they made out. You know, it's full circle. It's full fucking circle. But yeah, so that's Gabby. We actually think Gabby's going to go far in this competition.
Yeah, absolutely. I also need to like take some notes on this and write her stuff down so I don't forget it.
Oh my God, Leo, you're so moon, awesome.
Cap sun. Wow.
Yeah, that's Gabby. Okay. That's Gabby. So like, so, and who was, oh yeah. So then what even happened after that? Now I don't remember.
So, okay. Then Sarah, I want you to tell me about, and I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about our girl, Sarah. So what I found was so Sarah and him go on a one-on-one, which was a bizarre Becca Kufrin allegedly planned an extreme scavenger hunt, which by the way, you have to do in your underwear, which they both were wearing like decent underwear and like looked kind of appropriate. Like it wasn't like, thank God she wasn't wearing a thong or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, there's no way that they did not have a whole production team there with options for the most coverall like underwear. Only because like, I mean, even if that is the case, like I felt that this was like, this is where the cracks are showing in the psychology of the production staff, where it's like, this doesn't have long generation. Like that is so rapey. Like honestly, to put people to the way that the date started was like how they get you into the Nixium cult, which is like all that matters is you promise to say yes to every single thing. You know what I mean? Oh my God, I love the cat on your shoulder. That's such a great image. Oh my God. But it's like, it's so cute. But yeah, it's like literally Becca's like, hi, you guys, welcome. Remember, the way that you get to know people is by saying yes to every single thing, even if it's out of your comfort zone. Now, you have to run around downtown LA, which they don't actually mention is full. The streets are literally bubbling over with homeless people and camps of homeless people. You have to run around in this extremely like controversial area anyway and get naked and do things whether you like it or not. Like, I just felt like, what? Like, what if that were me, I might have said, no, I'm not comfortable doing that.
Yeah, agree. It gave me vibes of on Paradise when Tia and Kenny had to go on that naked volleyball date.
Right.
And
it's like, just fuck like you guys. You can't just demand people get naked.
No, you can't. And also, like, that doesn't actually foster, like, the beginning of a good relationship. It actually makes things, like, really fucking awkward. But, like, I think that Clayton and her like kind of don't have chemistry anyway, but yet they also seem to like know each other. And it's kind of like, I felt like I was watching the end of a relationship more than the beginning. Like it kind of seemed like a sad goodbye. Like, did you feel like that?
Wow. That's sorry. That's interesting. I felt like they, you know, it did, I wouldn't have framed it like that otherwise, but it actually, now that you put it that way, did feel like, a strong goodbye. I think it's because the circumstance was so it was like almost like they got through the divorce and now they're just like finally having coffee afterwards and like talking about how like we got through it together in the end. I'll always love you. Like, thanks for going. Like, I'm glad at the end that it was you who I was divorcing. I'm glad that you were there. Like, but they were talking about like it almost like they were like traumatized. Like, I was really uncomfortable. But, like, I'm glad you were there also as uncomfortable as me to like make it better. It's like, why would we? The whole thing is like, it was painful and she was uncomfortable. She looked like she
like it
wanted
was awkward
to
the whole time.
Crawl. She wanted to like hide behind a tree. Like, I just feel like that is such a weird position. And then Becca's just like, woo woo. And then they have like cutaways of her like judging him. Also, she was really judgmental of his singing. I actually thought he sort of had a nice, I thought his song was really cute. She copped out with her little rap. Wait, you could rhyme. I thought he could carry a tune.
Yeah, I thought it was nice. Like, he gave it his all. That's like, we're trying to be vulnerable here.
Also, fuck these producers. In the last, 5 minutes ago, we are hearing him talk about his extreme body insecurity.
Right.
What the fuck, you guys? Why are people signing up to get trolled?
Because you end up making a lot of money if you get Instagram deals.
Yeah, but it's like, let's be clear then, like the people that are Bachelor famous, like they have had to cut their teeth and be harassed by the industry too.
Yes. And I mean, what's worse than this even is like when they make them go freaking skydiving or something. I wouldn't do it. But you know what else I was thinking about with this underwear thing? I was like, what if she had her period, right? Like, we're all adults here, we can handle it at this point, but like, you know, a little
you're bloated, you feel
at this point.
Dude, yeah, totally.
And then it led me to think, like, do they know when all the girls are going to get it? Do they have a schedule? Like, do they plan around that at all? Or do they, like, not ever? Like,
no, they don't, only because
considered.
Maybe now, because somebody's, they're really, truly desperate for new ideas, I would imagine. And they're trolling for, like, underground Bachelor conversations. And they're going to take that idea and then they're going to get it sponsored by Thinks. And then we will sit here and say, fuck them. We should have brokered that deal. But you know what, if it's ours to bring into the world, Elizabeth Gilbert says, you know, so don't chase the ideas. Somebody will, you know, if it's meant you know, it's either ours to birth or not. But I think that's how we'll know that they're cracking their cycles, if Thinks is a sponsor.
100%. And then we would like some free product, please.
Right. And we that's will take expensive. Credit. Please credit us where credit is due.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my question about that. Just a little something to think about. Are they thinking about our cycles?
I don't think they're thinking about
cycle when they send her on fantasy suites.
I don't think they're thinking about the contestants like whatsoever.
At all.
I think that's like where it's like questionable in terms of like, is this, that's where it's like, it feels abusive, because like, how could they, some of the stuff that they ask them to do, and then these like the forced drinking and like the fact that they, a lot of the rules are, it's like, why are they all standing there in like rainbow brand prom dresses? Like, I don't know. Right. It is a very, like, I would much rather watch a rose ceremony where people were like in their sweats or just like dressing how they feel, because that's how you dress in the world. Like, I don't need to see you. I don't need to see you in the dress you bought just for that ill-fitting dress you bought just for this, because it's required that you bring 40 dresses that all are different just in case. It's like, fuck the producers.
And I'm also not getting any style inspiration, because I'm not wearing a gown in my daily life. But like, if they were wearing cute clothes, that's what they're missing out on too. You could do like what Amazon did with their like Project Runway spinoff, and then they were selling the clothes. That's what Amazon does with all their shows now.
Dude,
they sell
that's
the
actually
online.
Exactly right. Yeah, we are literally redoing the business for the failing fledgling Bachelor Nation. This is paywall only. You guys we're now your consultants. And no, but really, like, right, if they actually were allowing them to like dress like themselves, that opens up the world of like sponsorship and partnership. Like, somebody has one of the athletic girls has an Under Armour podcast after this. It really actually, if you actually let the women identify as themselves more, then long term, everybody will make more money. But it's like, no, we have to keep them in the dresses. We have to talk about the debutante ball. We have to always just push it a little bit and be as misogynistic as we can get away with.
Right. I would also keep the men in suits.
Okay, men in suits, women in sweats. Now that's new rules that it's for a sustainable future.
That's right. Oh, I love it.
I love that.
Okay, so let's hear about Sarah and his connection.
Check it out, right? So Sarah is also a Taurus. So she's a Taurus Sun, Taurus Mars. So there is a familiarity. There also is, again, there's that trigger thing. So there's sort of this element of, like, if we look at their charts together, it's like she is a little bit more of a mature Taurus energy, where I think she sort of does, like, make him want to, like, be better. Like, she does motivate him in whatever way. I think anybody with the Mars and Taurus has the ability to, like, hurt him or be combative with him, but for the most part, I think it's like an athlete. I think they kind of get him revved up, you know, like they kind of get him going. Okay. They also have their Venuses in the same place. They both have Venus in Aries, so they they, like, do love and love making in the same way. That's sort of interesting, right?
Is that a
right?
good thing?
Yes. I mean, it just means they're very compatible. Wow. Yeah. And they're not even born the same year. So this is pretty interesting. I mean, they have a lot of the same planets overlapping. Like, they have the same Venus. They have the same Mercury. They have the same Sun. Her Mars is there too. You know, then her Moon is in compatible with Leo Moon Sagittarius, and it's on his North Node. So she actually really does, on a soul level, make him want to be more of, like, that man for her. Like, he loves vulnerable women. Like, we know this, right? So when she's, like, talking about how, like, sad it was to be adopted or whatever, he's like, okay, not only do I want children, but, like, I'll be your daddy. Like, I think she brings him into his big daddy energy, less mommy, more daddy with her. Where's his sad?
Girl, you're the best on the spot person of all time.
Oh my God, thank you, thank you. I think they actually have high compatibility. The only other thing, I guess, that would be kind of notable, only because it is a love and dating show and we love it, her Lilith is on his Jupiter, so he might get, there might be an underlying tone of, ultimately, there's something about her full feminine expression that he, like he blows up her Lilith. Like, Jupiter with Lilith, it's like, it's sort of like it's a little bit like Pretty Woman vibes, if you know what I mean. Like, so it's a little bit like her dark feminine gets sort of partnered with, and then his Pallas Athena is there too. So, like, he might be really inspired and, like, sexually aroused and, like, love that there's something about her that he is afraid of. It might turn him on. But I could also see it being the kind of thing where he comes to just become, like, sort of afraid of her, or, like, sexually, or there's just something that may intimidate him about her that ultimately, I think it might, like, either it can inspire him to, like, great sexual heights, or and like a muse almost, or it could be the kind of thing where, like, he finds out, like, one thing about her past. She used to be an escort or something, and then he's just, like, hung up on it and, like, afraid of her raw sexuality, or afraid of her.
Let's start that rumor right now.
Yeah, I think we actually just did. LOL. I'm now the one.
That was Matt James' season where they did start that rumor about the one.
I'm the one.
Girl.
We're poisoning the waters now.
No. But there could be something that's, like, too much for him and threatens his manhood a little bit.
Yeah. She could scare him.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right. So my thought.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
on them were not totally synced with the astrology, and that's okay because, you know, they were just on an awkward date.
I guess we can let this be the lead-in, but the next one, there was a Baywatch date, okay? And Shanae,
right.
We were talking about why Shanae blew it, and it's like they had to do like a sexy walk in the Baywatch outfit up to him, like, a, you know, and she used it as an opportunity to jump into his arms and aggressively maul him in the face with her tongue. And I think to myself, God, here he is again, just like being fucking violated. Like, there is something about this whole show that no one's addressing, which is that this all feels really like, even the fact that now it began with somebody being like, I was going to get married today. And it's like, well, what the fuck are you doing here either way? And, right. You know, and like, I feel like they're sort of like re-traumatizing Clayton from something. Like, this is like college hazing on TV. You know what I mean? It's like, now put the egg between your asshole and pass it along to the next guy into his asshole. And it's like, shit, do you know what I mean? It's like they are like fucking taking advantage of this man, and he has no voice. Like, he can't say no. Yeah. That date was genuinely, I hope that when the cameras were not rolling, or they just didn't put it on the TV show because like they're trying to protect themselves legally, but I hope that there's a conversation that they had where they were like, let's never let anybody do that to us again. Like, let's never be, why would they ask us to do that? How uncomfortable. Like, it's not like, thank you for doing it with me, I'm glad you were there. It's like, thank you for doing that with me, I'm glad you were there. Should we sue the fucking producer? Should we sue ABC? Right. How dare they?
And like, it all happened so fast too, I think, is the other thing. Like you could tell he didn't want to be making out with Shanae, but like,
oh my God,
he just doesn't have the time to process and be like,
right,
like, I will just push someone off me if I don't want to make out with them. Like,
right.
He's okay. You could do that.
I agree completely. Like, he's getting like startled, and then he thinks like his duty is just like to make out.
Yeah.
But again, I think we're like seeing someone's like hidden, like deep subconscious, like effects of being someone who he doesn't seem to have that much agency.
Yeah he doesn't, you know? Yeah, it's especially like, kind of for a man, and not to be like,
no, that's
kind of messed up, but that's just how, you know,
that's
how
exactly
we're socialized,
what I'm feeling
is, yeah which is interesting.
Like, he doesn't seem to be able to
assert himself.
Yeah, and he's a little bit too, I mean, it is a very Taran thing, but he's very like slow processing. So, like, I think part of where people are like, this one is lower ratings than ever, or this is not the most popular Bachelor so far. And it's like, if there's any reason, which I don't even think there is, I think the drama is just like, they're just literally manufacturing headlines for whatever reason, who the fuck knows. But it's like, if there was a reason that I wouldn't be the quickest to tune in, it's because so much of what we're watching is deeply uncomfortable and is like, really just like, it's, there's, you know, certain drama. Look, I've come to, Molly's flipped me, okay? I've come to enjoy these shows. I love, you know, the drama in The Housewives. Sometimes it tickles me, right? But there's something so like meatier or more interesting or more like, it's like they've divulged some fuck. The Tom Girardi drama is fucking meat. That's right. The good steak. It's like, they are literally like just, they're like raping us all. It's like, they're putting them in, it's like we're watching like the Pornhub rape porn, and like, it's like, whoa, oh my God, I didn't know, I didn't film it. But it's like, it's literally just like this system where everybody is like low-key being like sort of like, the wool is being pulled over everyone's eyes. And it does, this season feels a little icky, not because of the love, because I do think he is making connections, but it feels icky, yeah. Because it's just like, is there no, there's no sense of like, reality.
An adult in the room or something.
Right. There's no adult in the room, and he seems to be a little bit slow on the uptake. In a way that's just annoying. It's annoying. It's like, dude, this is bad television.
Right, because it's like, this happened the one time with the first girl who just like attacked him at the pool and wouldn't stop. And he should have like learned that time and been like, you know what, next time that happens, I'm going to. But I think that can be a thing with a Taurus, right? Is like maybe not like learning your lesson the first time.
Right. Well, it's like you have this like sort of ingrained basic nature that, and especially with a Chiron moon wound, it's almost like he's doing a lot to work around getting his feelings hurt, which I think in turn has him being assaulted on television by numerous women. So I don't know if it worked, but like, I feel like that's really the thing. It's like, he's slow to process. He wants things to just be easy and to sort of work, but then there is this like just this wound in his heart space where he's like, either he's like, I'm lucky this girl's making out with me, she is hot, or where he's like, I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to not believe her. I don't want to victim blame. He's been so good about being like, yeah, like we listen to women. We don't victim blame. So he's like listening to women who are just like literally fucking trolling him.
Right.
He's like too woke for his own good.
And speaking of trolling too, and like the producers being fucked up, like where did they find these red one pieces? Because these women are gorgeous and they did not even look good doing all this. But do you agree with me? Like
Number one, I agree. Number two, I'm going to say they got them from Walmart. And around the same time while I was in Florida, I actually, I got Desi and I these really cheap red bathing suits too that made us both look 10 pounds heavier than we are. And I also thought it was funny too because they had like an ex-Baywatch woman and she's like, it's gonna be about to get serious, like we're about to do like real, and it's like you're gonna we're gonna do a real lifeguard role. It's like you aren't a real lifeguard either. You were on the original, you weren't even on the
and
new
one. It was
one.
Not serious.
You were on the original Baywatch. It's not serious. The one thing about that segment,
which
though,
by the way, none of these children watched.
Wasn't there a remake? Maybe they know about the remake, but they had no idea who she was. And but the feeling that I got, the tingle, the little pussy pang that I got when I heard the theme song was something that I was surprised and delighted by my visceral reaction to the, it brought me back. That theme song turns me on. What can I tell you? I was humping pillows as a kid to that very early. Because it was, Baywatch was naughty. It was naughty. And like.
It was.
They had big knockers, those gals. And
I think that's what was maybe missing here. But at the same time, I think I've seen a skinny bitch look good in a red bathing suit before.
No, there
and
was not
some
nearly
gorgeous women. Like,
no, there was like no cleave. It was
boobs or
all
no beebs.
No, they were ill-fitting bathing suits. No, like even at, I remember when Teddy was doing her weird run, I was thinking, ooh, the crotch area looks so, which I'm not judging her or her crotch area, but it's the cut. It's like, it's a very Walmart cut bathing suit. And I mean that, it and was, I'm not judging. Yes. I have Walmart bathing suits. I, you know, but it's a wall. It's from Walmart.
No, but you could get one. I have a red one from Aerie and it's fabulous. You got to go to Aerie.
Yeah, but they're not
going to
spend money on this show. It's fucking production. They also returned all of them. They all got their herpes on them and now they're going to fucking return them. No, they were like, keep the tags on, tuck them in the back. That's how production works. It's fucked up.
You think they would do that with bathing suits?
Absolutely.
That cost $5?
Absolutely. It depends. If they could get away with it, yes. Everybody is obsessed with saving money in production. It's an expensive.
Oh endeavor. My God. That's true. Yep. That's true.
Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, that was disappointing. But, I just was surprised. But, you know, these women are still obviously very good looking and thin. And
oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like, again, poo-poo on the production for trolling these people that are like giving everything to you while you exploit them.
Right. And I do think I'm starting to think Chris Harrison really has something to do with this. And this is all just a good big old revenge kick for him.
Oh, but, I love that. I love that.
Right? Because he's still a producer.
Well, and how much do you think it boils his fucking blood? Like, that. Okay, here I am arriving for my one line. It's time for the final rose and just cashing out. Like, how?
He had it on easy street.
He had it on cruise control. Like, all he did for years, this is his baby. And all he did was stand up for someone going, hey, look, not all of us knew about racism. And it's like, fuck, man. Like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, he chose the wrong hill to die on. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so more about this date. Sunscreen challenge, CPR, slow mo run, Shanae's weird rapey tongue thing. Gabby wins it all. Gabby wins it all. And then we go to the cocktail portion. Rachel gets a little validation. We find out that Gabby is quirky. And she did bring some aloe for him, which was very smart.
I love like their conversation. That's what I'm saying. It felt very, because she was like, hey, I meant to ask you, like, how's your summer? Like, she was really at least acting like she gave an actual shit about him as a person, which is something that we really haven't seen on the show so far.
Yes, also true.
He's really tried to care about these women and they are giving him nothing.
Yeah, or like platitudes of just like, I just feel like I really like you already, with like a single tear like going down their cheek. And it's like, but did you ask him, like, you know, if he's friends with his mom, like, you know, like anything?
Well, it's like every conversation is like, I need you to validate me because in my mind, there's like something here. And it's like, that's what everyone's like. It's just like, wait, that's what it is. That's what the show is. Like, what are we?
If you have
are we
enough just, like, of
reading
a brain,
the plot, right? We're just reading the log line of the show over and over and going, yeah, that is what we're doing here.
Yeah, like I literally can pick the moments that I can just tune out and like not listen because I know exactly what like BS crap is going to come out of their mouth.
Because his answer always was like, "You're still here, right?" And it's like, "Well, yeah, but it doesn't mean anything."
Right. So yeah, so.
I was surprised they showed like a really heartfelt interaction between him and was it Rachel maybe, where it seemed like she was delusional for a minute because she was like, I just want that validation, whatever, whatever. But then when they actually showed the meat of the conversation, he was like, I get where he is setting himself up for trouble, because while he is striking out across the board in terms of like just crazy people and like too much airtime, when they did show him validating this girl that we have not even seen on the show so far, it really was, I felt that he was being, you know, he was like, no, she was like, I feel like we don't have what everybody else has, and he was like, you are correct. Like, so I don't know, I felt like he was, Gabby and Rachel both surprised me in terms of how like actually intimate their exchange, albeit mundane and sort of basic, was. Like, I actually believed him when he reassured her, which either he is just like walking on thin ice with everybody and just really like, yeah, that's why everyone's pissed at him for saying I love you, because he's just really good at saying I love you, or he is making genuine connections and they're not even showing it because there is just so much blatantly dumb drama, and that is the right sort of lifeblood of this. It's like, until he sends home, they also could be killing time, because we have reached a few too many seasons where it's like they're literally like holding on to people at the end. You know what I mean? It's like, what are they going to do for a show if both people go home? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like these last few like episodes of seasons, they're like reaching. You know what I mean? It's like, let's set up Brandon to become the hot tub and make the swim trunks a thing. It's like, bah, 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 bah. It's like, that is boring. You know what I mean? It's like, So I sort of feel that like they're just like literally trying to like top heavy certain drama so that they don't run out of actual like story.
Yeah, they're like, Clayton, just tell all the women you love them now, just so they stick around like for a while.
Get them on their best. Handle this. Get them on their best behavior. They're acting irrationally right now. Like, handle this group and like bring them all into your Leo pride, and then get, you know, one by one hurt each other, and then we'll call it a show.
Yeah, well, let's hope it kind of goes that's down like that
what,
a little bit.
It is what we're looking for in the end. Yeah, so that would be great. I think actually we love this show, and we're sorry for being so, you know, just from the beginning, we've been giving you so much. We've been giving you free consulting, Bachelor, ABC producers, and we just feel like, cut us in.
Give us what we truly deserve. Yeah. And so the last drama that we do have is, you know, just a little bit more Shanae and Elizabeth. I mean, it's the same stuff as last week. But
I just feel
like she's taking Lindsay down with her as well.
Well, Lindsay is an interesting character because I actually felt like she didn't. Did we see her say anything to Lindsay about Lindsay?
We didn't.
So there's also where it's like they're either cutting this in a way that is truly making people look completely mentally ill, or you know what I mean? Because it was like, that's where I was like so confused, because that whole scene, it was like there was this back and forth again between Shanae and Elizabeth. Shanae is in love with Elizabeth. That's what's going on. And when she was like, I did it, I cried. I've done that before too, where I've been like, oh my God, I was such a good actor. You see, I tricked them. It's like, no, you're weeping because you are in these feelings. So fuck, you're not.
You just don't know which feelings you're in.
Well, or you're trying to pretend like this is some acting. I was really good. No, you're really fucking hurt. You're really hurt, and you really want the attention of Elizabeth. And you don't get that every time you speak to Clayton, all you can talk about is how you are so sad that this person doesn't love you too. That's what she keeps. It's so painful watching this. I don't know. Maybe they just made out. I don't know if they've, you know, fucked after watching this whole thing. But I will say that Lindsay took me off guard, because there was this whole back and forth between Shanae and Elizabeth. And then they're like, Lindsay being like, and now you're throwing me under the bus too. And it's like, who is that? Why does her face not move? She's completely monotone. She's crying, but it doesn't, you can almost barely tell. And then she's going, and now here we are fucking it up again. Like, why am I part of this drama? And it's like, we don't even know Lindsay W. I think this was the first time we even saw her name.
Right. Who's like, Lindsay maybe she W? Was just like, this is my shot. I'll just join in.
I don't think you were thrown under the bus. I don't think you're even on the bus. I don't think you're near the bus.
It's possible that he continued the conversation with her and said, hey, do you know anything about this? And then she turned it into, why is he accusing me of bullying? You know, like, have you experienced this in the house?
Oh, I could say, okay. She,
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe.
So you're saying, like, when she's saying, like, now you're making me one of the bad guys, what she's actually referring to is, like, you are taking up my time. Like, because she kept saying, like, I can't even talk to him. Like, I didn't even talk to him. But it's like, you are talking to him. Right. Maybe she was upset.
Maybe she still interpreted it as, like, him saying she was a bully, but it might have just been him looking for information. And her like taking it the right, like, I'm just like, potentially. Yeah. And also,
well, because,
like,
what was she saying? What I want to remember, like, what did she?
Because she, like, said that Shanae called her a bully too. But right. I'm thinking also, like, we didn't really. I mean, I'm sure Shanae's conversation with him was a little bit longer. So, like, it's possible that he literally said, like,
right, who okay, else? Can you name some other people? Who are the mean girls? Who are the girls that are doing this to you? Who are the meanies? And it's like, well, Elizabeth and Lindsay have become friends. So she's like, every time Lindsay and Elizabeth are together, they just ice me out because they won't let me put my titty in their mouth. I'm trying to be cool with them.
Potentially that, just that Lindsay happened to have the misfortune of going after the conversation with Elizabeth. Yeah, who went after Shanae. Because she was right. If she managed to go before Shanae, she could have had a normal fucking conversation with him and, like, actually get a chance to get to know him.
Right. Okay. So I think we're on the same page that, like, that Lindsay W. and Clayton definitely had conversations about the Shanae Elizabeth bully situation, but it is unclear as to whether or not anybody actually brought Lindsay W. into it officially, but she did react as though they did.
Right. Exactly. And also the wine's flowing, you know, and all of that. But if I was one of these girls at this point, I would probably fall on the sword and just say, listen, Clayton, I think you're great. I like what we have a lot. And I don't want this to affect my time here. And I know Shanae's pretty and stuff, but she is cuckoo for coconuts and she's going to drive us all insane. And if you marry her, your life's going to be insane. So I just got to tell you this.
I am surprised that nobody has stepped up yet, because, like, there's a difference between when people confront each other about people in the house, when it's, like, warranted, versus, like, when it's like, somebody just do it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like on the last few seasons, we have had a few moments where, like the Thomas takedown, still pissed about it. Obviously, it's come up a lot.
Right.
But like, there have been a few, you know, like with Victoria and Matt James's season, where, like, everybody was just like, look, like, this girl's toxic. LOL, goal. But it's like, this girl's, like enough people came over to him and said, like, that's why he liked Jasenia, because Jasenia was like, look, I have to level with you. Like, before we move forward, you've got to get this girl out of here. She's actually the reason there's a problem. And, like, she did it in a way that was really drama-free. And, you know, he asked around, they all said, like, why is everybody, like, even for Elizabeth to be like, I'm not making it a thing. Like, it's like, Elizabeth should have said to him, like, get her in here right now. Let's all talk about it. Or, like, ask every single person. Let's go, like, together and ask every person what the dynamics
are. But see, now they don't want to waste everyone's time with it, because that's what happened the last time. But even, like, I would wait till he comes out and he sits down and he's about to give out the rose. And, like, now you're not wasting anyone's time. And maybe production told you you're not allowed to say anything at that point or whatever. But, like, you technically wouldn't be taking time away from everyone. And I would just say it in front of everyone and be like, listen, this bitch is crazy. You got to know that. And does anybody back me up in here?
That's
somebody
such a good
back
thought.
Me up. And all the girls would raise their hand. And okay, you get a ding from production. But this is what separates. Like, this is what you need to keep in mind when you're on a reality show. Is, like, you actually don't need to follow every single thing production tells you to do. But if you think you do, then you end up, like, getting played and getting edited and all of that.
Right. And I do think, like, I don't know. Break the rules a little bit, like, for the greater good. And I do think you're so right that, like, yeah, do it in, like, an efficient way where it's like, hey, before we do this, can we all get on the same page? Like, so-and-so is actually saying I'm a bully but is bullying me. We made out once in the Cancun bathroom during the auditions. And ever since then, she has been my stalker. All the Finstagrams on my stories are her. She's coming at me. Can you guys agree that this bitch is literally, like, obsessed with me for some reason? And this is, you know what I mean? It's just like, say it. Somebody say it.
Just say it. And when you're not taking time from anyone else, just say it, like, once the night is over. I don't get that.
I mean, what I would have said too, if I was Elizabeth, is just been like, yo, she's obsessed with me. Like, I would have just pivoted right away instead of even addressing the claims. I'd be like, she's in love with me. She's obsessed with me. I'm not sure. I mean, she sort of said it, but it's like, Elizabeth needs to be like, yo, there's, like, literally nothing issue. But a a schoolgirl crush going on here, and
I cooked her a plate of shrimp,
and I shouldn't
15
have
15 shrimp for all the women, and she ate eight of them.
That's where it was a little bit like,
and then she cooked me shrimp.
Right, it was a little bit like, fuck you, Elizabeth, only because don't shame her for taking so much shrimp. And then they brought the shrimp back. She did bring the shrimp back. But it is demented, where she's like, she didn't even look up from the hot tub conversation she was in to make eye contact with me about the shrimp that she cooked that I gave back. It's like, what are you fucking talking about? Like,
again, she was just trying to get attention from Elizabeth.
She literally is, she is obsessed with Elizabeth. She's in love with Elizabeth. And even the fact that she is so out of touch in terms of like what winning means is like, you are operating on top of a huge amount of secrets.
Yeah, it's crazy. And also, like, if you think about it, like, she's saying all this stuff in the interview, like, literally to producers. Like, how messed up is it if we all actually pay attention to the show, that like they would know how into winning someone was and like not tell Clayton?
Dude, I was gonna say that before, and then I was like, I mean, I guess that is the show though. I guess that is like part of it, which is like they don't interfere, you know, unless they have to or there's like a real issue with like safety or something. But it's like, because it does seem sort of just cruel to now put him in this position over and over and over again, where he literally has like women that are blatantly exploiting this opportunity and openly like not caring less about him. They keep fucking hurting him on television. But again, I guess that is the job of the production.
But these people must like come out of, like, the leads must kind of freaking hate production by the time they get off this show.
Well, speaking of which, the other big news, did you see that now Tayshia is completely like, she's anti Bachelor.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yep, she's totally out. She feels exploited. She thinks that they have used and abused
because
her
of how they handled her breakup on TV.
Well, like, not only that, but it's like, okay, so she was like second in Colton's season, he's gay, and she was hurt there. Then she didn't get on any, or maybe she did. You said she did Paradise? I don't even know. But
she
then,
did, yeah.
But then she like came in as the like Claire backup. She didn't get her own season. She was a Claire backup. Then she did a great job hosting this season. She actually did end up being with the guy. They not only did nothing to even like support him and like actually help them, but they, you know, they put her on this pedestal as like special guest of the, they didn't call them hosts, they said special guest for two seasons. They had to do it together. I think that she, and then, you know, she's going on the podcast, and like I think I read something that when they brought up the Zach breakup at the Mantel All, I don't know if this is correct. I mean, it's all gossipship, but I believe I read that she was actually genuinely surprised by that and like didn't want to talk about it. And when she walked off, that was like a moment where backstage she was like, I'm done with this shit. Fuck you guys. You said we didn't have to break. Like, so
and
I
then
think
she wasn't at the next and then the final rose.
Well, that's, remember we were like, oh, she's just, I said she's faking COVID. That's why she's on without a mask on the plane. She's faking COVID because she's like, I'm out. Fuck you guys. And I think that's exactly what it is.
I hope so. Good for her. She's better than this.
Yeah, I'll send you some of the goss pages I saw.
Yes.
So fun.
Yes. Tell me. I think that's pretty much the show this week. And that's
maybe Tayshia wants to
news.
Be. Maybe Tayshia wants to be our third mic.
I bet she does.
I think so.
I really feel like
she's like, remember me from the marathon? Like, it's me and Casey. We ran alongside each other.
Now you have to be on my show.
Remember Go Eagles? Remember Go Eagles? I know that you want to divorce yourself completely from this show, but we could watch it every week and talk about it in a fun way. You should be like, fuck you. Fuck you.
I
don't think she wants to watch. I don't think she wants to watch.
No, I think she's probably over it. But at least she didn't end up marrying the guy. Like, I feel like she genuinely had a good relationship with him. So at least that
got a good time out of it. But no, it's not. Her journey to love is actually not yet complete.
Right. As it shouldn't be. The gal's a spring chicken.
And honestly, she got plenty out of that. Like, it's like, you know what? I sort of like the idea of like retiring, quote unquote, early.
Yes.
Because she actually
does. And not being
a
Becca Kay or a Caitlin Bristow.
Right, there's something about both of them, and that's where that's like that. At least for me, that is my like internal sexism, because like I don't think that about the guys. It's like, oh, the guys that really like take this and run with it, you're kind of like, yeah, good for him. But with the women, there's something like, oh no, I mean, I guess not. I don't know. I feel like the way people are acting with like the way people act with like Tyler Cameron and like Nick Viall and like
you know, Tyler Cameron's not really in the franchise anymore.
Oh, really?
He's just like a model. Yeah, he just like does his own thing.
Right.
He never went on Paradise.
Oh, so he really actually is just like a hot guy.
Yeah, like he like left the show and then started dating like supermodels and was like, okay, cool, I'm with Gigi now, so bye.
Right. Oh, so of the people that I've met so far, who are the people who are like really milking the Bachelor franchise for everything? You know what I mean? Like to the point where like it does feel a little bit like, don't you have anything else to do? Don't you have anything else? Becca Kufrin feels that way to me. It's like, come on, get a life. Don't be that. She's like the counselor, like that. Like I've been here since I was six, and now I'm the trainer of the counselors because I just can't get enough of camp. And it's like, get a job.
Yeah, like I'm sorry, like going on Paradise after you've been the Bachelorette is kind of freaking annoying. I mean, even if you end up with Thomas, and it seems like maybe they have a good thing going, but like, that's not annoying. I wouldn't do it. It's like a little bit embarrassing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like she truly has like sold her like, soul to this franchise.
Yeah, she's like clinging to it.
That is just her employer. They employ her.
Yeah. And then you have Caitlin Bristow, who also like has her own businesses and like was on Dancing with the Stars. So like kind of like does some other stuff, but she's still like killing it and like milking it, which like honestly at the same time, more power to you. Like I get both sides, but like
I mean, look, if we did not have to worry about figuring out like career growth and all we had to do was like look pretty and show up and talk shit about people, you know what I mean? Like it is a pretty good gig. It is a pretty good gig. Just but like stay in shape is all.
You just have to like.
Right. Right. It's actually like be a
you
mannequin.
You actually don't get to say much.
Right. Actually, right. It is sort of a lifeless. Like, right. To stay in the franchise as a. Right. Like Becca actually had to pretend that she made a scavenger hunt to exploit them.
Right. Like, no, she didn't. Like, she should have given us a little more Hillary Duff energy and just, like, pretended like she didn't want to be there at all.
Yeah, she should have been like, I'm under contract, so I hate to ask you to do this fucked up thing, but, like, you know, get in your underwear.
I'm going to make, like, you know, 20 grand off of this, so I guess I'll
just, you gotta
like, do
I
guess it. She probably made more than that.
You got to pay the rent. Yeah,
then there's Wells, who was already, like, a radio host before he got on the show, so he always was kind of a personality. I guess he probably kept that going. I don't know. And would do like the bartending thing. So like, that's fine. But like, yeah, he's probably milking it a little bit too much too. And then Nick Viall, I would say, is like the king.
Well, and I think why Nick Viall is like the ultimate is because like he's so invested in the franchise that he doesn't even need to be employed by the franchise. He's like, he's taken it and made his own subculture. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like he actually rose above the Bachelor franchise and now is sort of like their dad. Like he sort of power lorded ABC. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He became like the independent competitor of the thing. Cause like he kind of is. Like I feel like when I do like read the goss, like he's such a staple in like he's like people's resource and like he's where the real conversations are going down with people about like the serious like armchair therapy stuff after. It's like he really has so it's like in a way he maybe is the one that has milked it the most, which you might say is like a lack of creativity showing or just like taking the easy way out. Except in his case, I think it's showing his sort of business acumen because he built something bigger than like they can't necessarily hire him to do something bigger than the exposure that he's creating for himself through just talking about them.
Right. And I do think he does a little more like of a deep dive and kind of exposing a little bit, which is less fake.
Yeah. Did you see the clip where he confronted Teddy last week for saying it was he said he felt it was manipulative of her to tell Clayton last episode that she was saving herself for marriage or not saving herself for marriage, but she's a virgin. And I guess I don't know how we missed that piece of info, but somehow they were talking about it on his podcast. I just saw one of the YouTube like clips come up where it was like he was talking about on one of the recap shows like how he thought it was manipulative that like she knew what she was doing. His co-host was like, no, it's just strategy. And so they actually had her on the show to confront him about like whether it was manipulative of her or not to disclose that she.
Ooh, like, I want to listen.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's pretty interesting. I thought she stood up for herself really well, which is like actually what you're seeing is like I'm feeling insecure. And I didn't mean to like lead with it in a way that was like planting any seeds. And what I would have said if I were her, which I would have said, that's your shit. You're turned on by that, or you've now made fetishized that, and you know what I mean? But
totally.
You know, if it is a part of the strategy, it's like, well, I don't know, sharing something that's true about yourself, I don't know how that could be a bad strategy. It seems like the only ethical strategy here.
Yeah, and she also could have done the, I wanted all the virgins at home to feel represented. You know, right. She could have done one of those.
Yeah, it's just like interesting. And they actually had a good conversation about it. I'll send it to you. We can talk about it. But basically, like, she was just like, I felt like, you know, it's really hard when you haven't had sex because it becomes this like thing that
insurmountable, like.
Well, and it's like, it's how you identify. So she's like, I have felt for so long that part of my identity is having made this choice. She's not waiting for marriage, but she's waiting for like true love or whatever. And fat chances happening on The Bachelor, but you might as well hit the fantasy suite while you're fucking getting, you know, possibility of sponsorship or something. But it's like, right. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's manipulative, but I'll send you the clip. We can discuss.
Okay. Fabulous. I also wanted to say that I watched, since we're talking about Hillary Duff, I did watch How I Met Your Father, and I friggin' really liked it.
Was it actually good? Or like,
no.
Why did you like it? What did you like about it?
You know, I love the cheese. Obviously, I'm talking about The Bachelor. But, and I feel like it was like kind of true. I think it's going to be kind of in the same vein as the original show, which I loved so much.
I never watched the original show. So now I'm like, is it the kind of thing that's like, well, you're going to love it if you like almost like it's like a part two. Whereas like, I didn't watch.
No. It's totally different cast. Okay. I think it's just going to be a similar, like, cause How I Met Your Mother was Friends, but you know, 10-20 years later.
Well, it's sort of brilliant as a premise to kind of bake in this mystery to like a regular sitcom. So it's like you're always waiting for it's a brilliant like television writing trope that I think works here. Yeah. It's like, yeah, really like an overarching cliffhanger to be. It's the same reason why, like, did you ever watch Pretty Little Liars?
Yes.
It's like the same kind of thing where it's like, once the mystery is quote unquote solved or whatever, it's like, it's sort of over, but like the fun is in this like high, like this like
trying to figure out.
Right. And like this, well, highly, and it's the same thing as The Bachelor. Mystery. Like,
I'm trying to figure out the whole time who's going to actually win this thing. Right. So it's, I mean, it's really kind of the same idea. So, and you always have like a hopeless romantic in the main role of the father and now of the mom. So, I mean, I liked it. I thought so. But I wanted to ask you, like, is it fortuitous that it comes out during Mercury retrograde and Venus retrograde? Is that just like meant to be? Because it's like a love show.
Well, it's not. It is meant to be, but
it's a reboot.
It's because it's a reboot is why. It's because it's this is a great launch time for it, because what it's doing is like Mercury and Venus retrograde, like revisiting in Capricorn, the public sort of storyline. It was being done while the North Node was still in Gemini. So it's like this other side of the story, but now it launches when we're, you know, this whole year is like an overall kind of Capricorn karmic cleanup year before we really move into like a new era in, you know, over the next, through like 2024 to 25, like Capricorn. Okay. So we're kind of doing the like, okay, the party's still going, but like, let's clean up a little bit. Like, as people leave, like that's like the energy of the moment. Yeah. And so, so like this coming out now, it's very good timing, because it's like we're revisiting this old beloved thing, but we're changing the public image of it. We're telling the other side of the story of it. And with that Venus retrograde, it's actually, you know, it's centering the feminine. And that's really like the sort of meta. It's like back from the dead, but the feminine's actually the representative, and the sort of the thinking is going to be more feminine that we're displaying. And so I do think it's very good timing astrologically. Not necessarily, I mean, yes, because it's about love, and yes, because it's like How I Met, and it's like this sort of cerebral mystery that's the overarching thing. But really, I think what it is that like, it is this revisiting and rethinking of a classic.
Amazing, gorgeous. And then one other thing I was gonna say is that I watched one episode of Joe Millionaire, haven't watched anymore.
Oh my God, wait, yo, I never watched The Bachelor before. I used to love Joe Millionaire.
Me too.
Okay, we should. Like, what days is it on?
Thursdays. There's three episodes, I think, so far. Two or three. I don't know.
I will catch up. I would like to discuss.
Yeah, they've got two Joe Millionaires.
What? Wait, what?
And one of them is a millionaire and the other one is not. And the girls don't know Witches, oh, witch.
Oh my God. Now, this is another one, though, similar. This is also good television timing because it's like, yeah, old classic.
It's a whodunit.
It's a whodunit. And now it makes so much sense, too, this reboot, because like the North Node switching into Scorpio and Taurus, it's all about like choosing value, choosing worth. What is money worth? Who, you know, would you rather fall in love? That is the question of the next 18 months. Like, you know, love and money. What is the relationship between love and money? What is the relationship between value and money? What is the relationship between truth and lies and secrets? And, you know, oh my God. First of all, until you just said that, I forgot that it was even back. And now, again, the rethink of it to add
reboot.
To add the element of actually this time around, there are two, is because it actually then combines. It's like you, that is what this time is, right? The retrogrades are like, take the learning, like look back at the lessons. What did you learn? Not only like since 2008, really, but like since really like 2018, we've been really, the cycle that we're closing out this year kind of started in 2018, and it really is a resetting of the like family structure, the sort of unit of like public care that we give to people, and to, you know, that's like what this is. And Capricorn is a leader and is in charge and responsible for all the people, so there's an awakening, you know, a revolution happening in Capricorn, and either you're going to die with the old or you're going to be a part of building the new. And I think this is such a wonderful addition to the lexicon, because it's like they've taken what worked from, you know, the last whatever, like since 2008 or whatever, and they're going, oh, this is actually like a combination of Bachelor and Paradise. Like,
and it's like we're not going to like totally lie to the women, but we're going to partially lie to them. They're going to know that we're lying to them about one of these guys. But like the first time, these women didn't know that there was a gotcha at the end. This time they know there's a gotcha, and they're gonna have to try and figure it out as they fall in love.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw this out there, and like, listeners, if you guys are out there and you want this, let us know. But like, I would be open to, on our Monday discussions of The Bachelor, like if we watch Joe Millionaire on Thursday, we could also talk about it, and it gives us a whole weekend to watch. We don't have to do, you know, it's like sometime before, if we watch, and if you guys want us to talk about Joe Millionaire, or if it comes, I'm just saying I'm going to watch, and I would love to discuss. Is all of them.
Yep. Perfect. Sounds good. And we could keep that to a shorter one, because I think it is a little bit sillier and that kind of thing. But
I mean, yeah, no, we want to remain committed to our, you know, priority. We have a responsibility. Oh my God. Whatever that laugh was is really funny timing, but it's
like,
you have the loudest house, dude. The acoustics. You gotta get some rugs.
I feel really bad for my neighbors, but nobody's complained so far except the one time I had a party. So
I think you're good. They love it. He's joyful. They're like, what a fun couple they are. Listen how loud he laughs. I think if any of the Bachelor producers are listening to this, I want to say with my whole heart, you're welcome. And this is the kind of discourse that you guys, similar to Clayton saying, I'm ashamed that I haven't really been open to love. Uh-huh. It's, we are really actually bringing that conversation deeper while you continue to just sort of skate on the thin ice. We're here actually grounding, being the basin for the success of the future of the franchise. So we really do hope that you listen and take note to all of our very good ideas.
And if you want to share your shadow sides with us, would happily air them on this podcast. That'd be
why don't you have everybody?
Are you ashamed of Bachelor producers?
Yeah, have everybody. I want to get everybody that was in any of the therapy circles. We got to get them all on the pod, and we will actually hold them. Hey, Bachelor producers, why don't you be either you tell us what you're ashamed of and be responsible for like doing what you asked people to do, or at the very least, hold the people that you are producing a show around accountable to answer the motherfucking question like they are, like, you know, like they're fucking awake.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? This is not a good way to motivate people to get on the pod. So I actually think tell them. Gotcha them.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So we get them on the pod first, and yeah, pretend we never said any of that.
Scratch that.
Okay. Well, we love you, Trash Squad. We love you so much. So
just side note though, like what you just heard, if this remains in the podcast, like that's also a Mercury Venus retrograde sort of conversation where we're going, oh my God, this is the opinion, and then we go, wait a second, now that we say that, is that really the value? Is it really what we mean? And then it's like, nah, it's not what we mean. We need a new strategy.
None of this is what we meant.
If we're gonna abuse people, we need a different strategy. So that really is what we're doing here. We gotta exploit people differently. You guys are fucking transparent.
That's right. When does Mercury and Venus retrograde end?
The official dates, I believe Venus retrograde is like officially over on January 29th, and then it has a shadow period. Right. And then Mercury retrograde is over. Yesterday would have been the halfway point. So there's like 10 days left now. When is that? February 3rd. But I think that either way, okay, they're both going to be moving through their shadow.
No, I don't like the shadow thing. I can't.
The shadows. It's okay. Embrace the shadow. That's the whole point of the episode.
Okay.
Embrace the fucking. That might be the title. We just title Embrace the Shadow.
And embrace the shadow.
Embrace the fucking shadow. You cowards. But it's like, I feel
make
like.
Make a merch.
Okay, shit. Trash the march. But I think that, like, ultimately the reason we need to embrace the shadow is because it's like you're still in that Mercury retrograde period where you get to use it as an excuse fully, but it's whenever it's in shadow, especially when it's on the way like to Directville, you're just revisiting every single thing that came up. So if you actually want to help yourself during a Mercury retrograde, what you can do is like keep track until there's the Kazemi, which was on Monday. There was the official, as it traveled backwards, Mercury hit the heart of the sun, and there was a shedding of a sort of burning up of the Mercury, of the thinking. Now it's going to keep going backwards, but from a more purified place. Then when it moves forward, everything that it touches, it's going to go over the same degrees again, also with Venus going over the degrees too. So there's sort of just like, it's basically like, there's not going to be like any shadow surprises. It's all going to be related to, it's like just the end of the storylines that you think in this moment are like fucked up or something, but it's really not. It's sort of like predictable. And then once it clears the shadow, it really does feel like new energy. So until March 3rd, just hold your positions, soldiers. Just remain in place, remain in position, and do the inner work. Do it internally and really like work through shit from an inner place so that when it actually is time to emerge, you're actually like, it's like if you have all the time in the world to clean the fridge and then you wait until like the last minute before like somebody comes home, it's like it might still have like a stinky smell. Even if it's cleaned out. So it's like, take that, but you have time. Like, clean it out.
Clean it out. Clean out the fridge.
Clean it out. It's all good.
By March 3rd.
There'll be more food.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. That was beautiful.
You're welcome.
You always keep us educated.
Well, you ask the best questions. So I think we're really a wonderful, if it were us, you and Molly would be my final two. If it were my bachelor, you and Molly would be.
We'd be going to the fantasy
top
suite.
Two. I mean, every podcast recording is a fantasy suite with you two.
And right back at you. Mm. And with our little trashlings. We love you.
We love you, trashlings. Stay trashy.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.